speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
I want to deliver a lesson from God's Word that I have entitled, "That God Will Deliver Us, But If Not." If not, where will we stand? If God allows us to go into a trial, and our desire is for God to deliver us, to take that trial away, but at the same time, it doesn't come about that way, where will we be? Where will we stand with God? Where will our faith be in God? Where will we be as a Christian? Will we allow that trial to make us stronger or to be weaker in regard to our walk with God? This morning I begin with a challenging question, and that is, have you been in a situation in life that seems to be hopeless? Trial and temptation comes upon each and every one of us, and different types of trials will fall upon different people in life. Two people might go through the same thing or a similar situation, but yet at the same time, it doesn't always turn out that way. One person may go through a trial that someone else will never face, or they may deal with a temptation in life that someone else never even thinks of in this world. Life is filled with trials and temptations. And while we would like for our life here to go smoothly, while we would like for everything to be a bed of roses, if you would, you and I know that it's not that way. And these trials and temptations can make our life challenging from time to time. And you know, one thing that I've seen, especially as a preacher and dealing with members of the church and people in our community, is that it seems sometimes as if some people get hit more than others, and that they get hit harder than others. And these trials, especially whenever they just keep coming at you, they can wear a person out. Not only the person, they can wear a family out. They can wear us down physically to where that we are dealing with sickness because of the thing that we're going through. They can wear us down mentally. And the bottom line is as we think with reference to the trials in life, is that no one is immune to the things that we go through from a bad point of view in life. Even Christians, those who are members of the body of Christ, faithful Christians, those who are there every time that the doors are open, those who involve themselves continually in fellowship and in works of the body of Christ, all of us face temptation and trials in our lives. And you know what's interesting too is that sometimes we refer to the trials or the temptations that we go through as bad luck and good luck. I remember speaking to an individual several years ago that they were born on Friday the 13th. And they said that they were born with a curse as a result of that. They had gone through a number of challenging moments in their life. And they said that the reason that they were going through all of these things is because they were born on Friday the 13th. They were superstitious. That reminds me of a story I read this past week of a conversation that took place between two guys, and one guy asked the one, he says, "Are you superstitious?" And the younger guy says, "Well, what do you mean by that?" He says, "Well, for instance, if you walk under a ladder, do you believe that you're going to have 7 years of bad luck? That's what the superstition is it not?" And the boy says, "No." He says, I don't believe that at all." And the one man was a little taken back by that, and he says, "You don't? Why?" And he says, "Well, my uncle walked under a ladder and said he didn't have 7 years of bad luck." And the guy says, "Oh, he didn't?" He says, "No. He said he was hit by a car and killed the same day." Bad luck and good luck, if you would. Trials, temptations. None of us are immune to it. It hits all of us from time to time. And Christians, we believe that God is working to deliver us, do we not? The Bible identifies to us that Jesus says in the book of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And you and I know that God means what He says, and that Jesus extends that invitation because He wants to be there for us. And not only does He want to be there for us, as Christians we know that He has the power to be there for us. And we find in Scripture that not only do we believe this, but people in the first century bought in to the promise that God made that He would be there for His people to deliver them. Remember the Apostle Paul, everything that he went through, he was beaten for the cause of Christ. He was tormented both physically and mentally because of his position in walking faithful to God. But then also factor into that equation with what Paul went through. He dealt with the normal things, if you would, in life simply because of living here in this world in the flesh. And how did he get through it all? Remember what he said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We believe, and rightfully so, that God is there for us, that God knows everything that we're going through in life, and that God will indeed deliver us. But this morning I ask you the question that I want us to think about continually as we go through this lesson: what will happen if things go wrong? Not if they are wrong, but what will happen to you, to your understanding of God, to your belief in God, to your faith and to your faithfulness and your perseverance in life, if in the midst of trouble, when everything is wrong, if things get even worse, where will you stand with God during those moments of life? I draw this lesson in part from what we read in the book of Daniel chapter 3. With three men known in the context as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you will recall as you go back to Daniel chapter 1 that these three men have been brought to Babylonian captivity along with Daniel whenever Nebuchadnezzar has seized Jerusalem. And they have gone through a number of things pointing to, in chapter 1, their faith and commitment to God. They refused to partake of the king's provisions. Why? Because it would have defiled them. And because they were committed to Jehovah God. And by the time that we come to Daniel chapter 3, we are introduced to the understanding that Nebuchadnezzar has created a golden image, some 90 feet tall, that he has issued a decree upon that all who live within the land of Babylon, all who are under Babylonian rule and authority, they must submit themselves to bowing down to this man-made image. Friends, that presented a challenge, did it not? To Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to other Jews. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been given a favorable position amongst the king here. And in all, whenever they refuse to bow down to the edict, to the command, the decree to worship, the messengers or some messengers of the king take this back to the king. And it is presented before the king that they are rebelling against him. Is that this is a slap in the face to the king. And you can imagine, as the context actually explains to us, the effect that this had upon the king and his relationship with these three men. He questions them in the context. And in the context, the Scripture says to us that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar," verse 16, verse 17, and verse 18, "we have no need to answer you on this matter. If it is the case, our God, whom we serve, will deliver us from the burning fire of furnace." And he says, "He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not," they realize that while they believe that God would deliver them, that there was also a possibility that he would not. And they go on to say, but if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. These men took a very stern stand, did they not? Realizing, believing all along, God is able to deliver us. God will deliver us. But if not, we're still going to serve Jehovah God. Now, we know in the context that God did indeed deliver these men from the fiery furnace. And hence, as a result of that, God is honored amongst the king and Babylon. And in this, though, if God had not delivered these men from the trials that they faced, they were going to stand firm to God. The truth of the matter is that God doesn't always deliver His people. Take into consideration Stephen in Acts chapter 8. A man who was a servant of God, preaching the message of God. And what happened to him? He was stoned to death. He pleaded with God. He begged with God. And God was there through the trial to help him in his staying focused and committed. Take into consideration James, the brother's Lord. The context of Scripture identifies that he was a martyr for the cause of Christ. He was facing trial, temptation. And God, why didn't He deliver him? We don't know the why of the matter, but we see that He did not. And we find that this man was faithful in his commitment to God. You see, God wants you and me to focus upon Him. And God, during the times that we face trial, He says, turn to Me in prayer during your trials. The Scripture tells us that we're to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? It means that we're to have a continual, consistent prayer life. And we're to see the value in prayer. And to realize is that God is there, always listening for our prayers, listening to our prayers with an understanding 100% as to everything that we're facing during the time in which we're living here in this world, even during the time in which we're praying. He knows not only what we're praying, but He knows the emotions that are involved during our prayers. And God says, turn to Me continually in prayer. To give thanksgiving, maybe we don't do that enough. But during the times that you're dealing with difficulties in life. And you know, the Bible tells us then too that not only does God want us to turn to Him in prayer, God also tells us that we are to in part turn to one another for help, does He not? There are burdens that all of us need to face ourselves, meaning that there are things that we'll all go through in life that no matter what somebody might say, no matter how much someone might try to help, the bottom line is that we're going to have to go through it ourselves. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 through verse 4, verse 5, it helps us to understand that. But at the same time, the Bible says that we are to bear one another's burdens and so to fulfill the law of Christ. A lot of consideration and commentary has been given with regard to so fulfill the law of Christ. What does that mean? Whenever we were going through the school of preaching several years ago, Brother Tom Miller said that he believes in the context probably the law of Christ there would refer to the law of love, that God wants us to love one another endlessly, and whenever we do that, hence we're helping to bear one another's burdens. That may or may not be the case contextually as to what's under consideration, but I think that it does fit. If we have a love for one another, a fervent love for God, but also a devoted love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we will be there for each other to help one another through the burdens we face in life. Friends, if you're going through a burden in life that seems as if it's so hard and impossible, if you would, for you to bear or to carry yourself, I'm going to tell you today, we may not see that because you may be trying to cover it up. You may be trying to carry it, and you're doing a good job of covering it up. Let us know that you're going through a trial. And I can promise you that as a congregation, as a church family, We'll do what is within our power to do to be there for you, to help you through the trial. Because that's what God expects, but also that's what we want as your brothers and sisters in Christ. But you know, in reality with Scripture too, God shows us that He expects us to have complete trust in Him. It doesn't always mean that He's going to bring us out of the trial. But what it means is that He's going to be with us in the trial. It means that He brought us to it and He's going to bring us through it. It means that as we go through the trial, we can trust that whether the church knows it or not, whether our family's involved with it, or if we're seemingly out there on our own, is that in reality, we're not there on our own. God is very much attuned to everything that we're facing. And that God is working behind the scenes to help the situation as well as to help us in the situation to be able to see light at the end of the tunnel and to know that that light is not a train, but rather is that it's God's working providentially on our part. You see, God expects us to completely trust Him through the times that we have in life. And God informs us that the way to heaven is filled with difficulty, is it not? It would be wonderful, we think anyway, to go through life without anything. One person said, well, the trials of life, it's meant to help keep life from being boring. And we would say, well, that's true. If we're going through life, it's certainly not boring. It's really exciting. In fact, it is challenging. And in that, God says is that as we go through this life, is that it's not meant to be easy. Remember what we read in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and verse 14? He says, straight is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. But that straight and narrow way, difficult is the way, is what He's meaning. He says, few there be that find it. We will go through difficulties in life. Sometimes we will be blessed to be able to be delivered from those things, meaning that we won't have to go through it and to see it, the worst case scenario. But sometimes, truth of the matter is that we will not. And during those times, where will you and I stand? You see, we need to realize that God is always working things out for our good. One person said there's no such thing as good luck and as bad luck. Good luck, if you would, or the good things that happen to us are the blessings that God bestows upon us. And to that, James chapter 1 verse 17 says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, in whom there is no variation. God certainly brings forth the good, all of the good, the great things that we have in life. And we need to count our many blessings to see and to remember what God has done. That same person that said there's no such thing as good or bad and the blessings or the good or the blessings of God, they went on to say that the bad things are the lessons that God lays before us. And I think that's true. God wants us to learn, does He not, through the things that we face in life? Through those challenges, to make us stronger, the Scripture says, to give us greater faith, and to help us to build perseverance, patience, so that we might be able to endure until the end. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, or verse 20, He who endures to the end shall be saved. And God wants us to be able to have that strength, to have that ability, to where we're built up so much that no matter what we face in this life, we're going to continue in our pursuit to live faithful before God. And you see, God identifies that He is going to bring us through the moment. Not that we're going to be able to be delivered from it, but that He's going to be there to deliver us through it. And on the other side of things, friends, God wants you and me to understand that we can be stronger as a result of the things that we face in life. As I stand before you this morning, I'll tell you, whenever things are going easy in my life, usually that's whenever I'm laziest, to be honest with you. whenever everything's going just as smooth as you might ask for. That's whenever I find myself more or less just kind of stepping back and following that easy road. But whenever things get rough, whenever the going get tough, remember that saying, the tough get going? Isn't that true? It makes us stronger, the things that we face in this world. And that's what God wants us to do. But above all then, too, God wants us to understand that while we're going through these challenging things in life is that they're just for a moment. And we need to trust that God does not want us to lose heart in the midst of that. Now, that's what Satan wants, is it not? Satan wants us to cave in. Satan wants us to give up. Satan wants us to question God and to say, why in the world would a loving God put me through this? Friends, God doesn't put us through things. God allows us to go through things. He tests us and doesn't tempt us. But He tests us knowing that the working of our faith builds perseverance and endurance. Remember those old sayings in the times that we're ready to throw in the towel that says, winners never quit and quitters never win. As I thought about that, I also was thinking about, if that's the case, who came up with this adage that says, quit while you're ahead? As Christians, we can't quit while we're ahead. We can't quit when we're behind. We must keep on keeping on, trusting in God, never losing heart. Because in the end, that's what it's all about. This life is meant to prepare us, to challenge us, to lead us, and to motivate us to someday be able to be in heaven with our God. God will deliver us from a lot of things. But if not, we must stand firm and faithful to God, so that someday we will be able to dwell eternally in heaven with our God. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, we want you to know God's love. And God's love for all of us is seen in an ultimate manner when Jesus Christ surrendered His life, gave His precious blood to die a cruel and undeserving death on the cross of Calvary at Golgotha. That's the love of God. The love of God also is extended in the fact that He has been patient, waiting upon those who are outside, even those who are erring, to come and to become a Christian or to have their sins forgiven. In that, confession of Christ must be made, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in that confession, then one must submit themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And in baptism, God forgives us, adds us to His kingdom, and then we are raised, expected and commanded to walk in newness of life. So this morning, if you're subject to the Lord's call, His invitation in any way, we invite you and plead with you to come as together.